The only thing that we can control at this moment is how well we take care of ourselves. And you might think it's selfish. It is not selfish. Like, you are doing everybody else a huge service if you are as strong as you possibly can be during this time, and honestly, forever.
Welcome to Better with Dr. Stephanie. I am your host, Dr. Stephanie Estima. This show is for women just like you with a deep desire for learning, self-actualization, and becoming more of who you already are. Every week, we are going to deconstruct how to build better bodies, better minds, better relationships, better sex, and better families. I'll be giving you access to world-class thought leaders to help give you the tools to answer this question. What are the simplest things that you can do today to get better tomorrow? I am part geek, part magic, and want to share the juiciest questions, topics, and often taboo conversations that I think I've always wanted to be a part of and I wanted to be having. So let's get better together. Welcome back, Betties, to another episode of Better with Dr. Stephanie. This is our Monday episode, which means it is an interview, and I have a very special one for you today with one of my personal mentors, JJ Virgin. Now, JJ is a triple board certified nutrition expert, fitness hall of famer. She's a podcaster and four-time New York Times best-selling author of titles, including The Virgin Diet, JJ Virgin's Sugar Impact Diet, and the companion cookbooks. Her book, which we talk a little bit about in today's episode, The Warrior Mom, Seven Secrets to Bold, Brave Resilience, is the reason why I'm bringing you this episode today. We are in the depths of winter, and I really feel like for those of us that have four seasons, and even for those of us that do not, I think it's really important to really be doubling down on mindset when we have some of the other things around us, our environment, like less sun, more cold, it's harder to get outside. These things can really impact our mental health and well-being. Now, before I get into some of the things that we talked about with JJ, I do want to read one of the reviews that came in from the US, and her handle is the best. Her handle is I'm a Betty. And she calls, her review is called Informative, Inspirational, and I love it. I feel Dr. Stephanie's podcast speaks directly to me. I love the geeky magic as well as the guest interviews. Thank you for being my perimenopausal guide to everything going on with the body, mind, and soul. And I can't wait to read your book. And this is from I'm a Betty. And like I said last week, I feel like you guys, when you leave me ratings and reviews like this, I smile from ear to ear because they're so amazing. And I'm so appreciative because I know how much time it takes to write a review, to go and find it, to click, to create a username, all those things. So thank you so much. And if you are feeling like this podcast is delivering value to you, that you have got something out of it, I would love to hear what that is. So please feel free to head over to Apple iTunes and leave the pod a review. All right, so on to the show with my mentor, JJ Virgin. So we talked about in this episode a lot of things around mindset, around letting go of control, around practicing extreme self-care, forgiveness, and worthiness. And we start with JJ's story, how she got into this mindset work. Now, JJ, as of the time of this recording, is one of the coaches of one of the largest health care professional masterminds on the planet. She brings together, it's kind of crazy, she brings together MDs, NDs, DCs, DOs, PTs, and we all don't fight with each other, which is really lovely. And so she is really doubles down on mindset. And we talked about her story, particularly with her son, Grant. Now, her son, Grant, was in a catastrophic car accident. I will let you listen into the details in the podcast for the details on that. But what is more astonishing is the way that she decided to respond. And we talk about this idea that we all fall back on the training that we have had to prepare us for moments, for big moments, like in her case, her son being hit by a car. In many of the current narrative, in terms of like the political landscape, in terms of the pandemic. And so I get her to really open up to describe what her thinking and strategy was on how she decided that she was going to get through this challenge. We talk about what Grant's opinion of it is now, 20 years later, and how we can cultivate resilience. You know, if you've never had tragedy, I think it's important. Some people might say, well, I've never had, you know, my son's never been hit by a car. I've never had this big story. How can we cultivate resilience in the absence of tragedy? And how do we not let the story, for those of us that have been through big things, how do we not let the story consume us? In other words, how do we move from being a victim to being a volunteer and seeing the opportunity in that? And we move into forgiveness, into what it's like to be a coach in terms of coaching, you know, some of the most premier and, you know, most popular healthcare providers on the planet. If you follow healthcare providers like myself and others, it's very likely that they have been touched by JJ and her coaching in some way. And we move into, so I ask her at the end, you know, what's something that you used to believe about mindset that you've changed your mind about? And I think that her whole, if you just listen to her steadiness, her confidence, and her, the through line in all of her thinking is all about doubling down on mindset. She, like I, have, you know, written books on metabolism and weight loss and all of that, but it's all for naught if your mindset is not there. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with my mentor and all around badass superstar, JJ Virgin. One of my goals this year is to make it my best year ever with my skin. And one of the ways that I'm doing that is with the Bond Charge Red Light Neck and Chest Mask. Wrinkles, acne, scarring, skin roughness, loss of collagen and elastin happen in the face and in the neck and the décolletage area on our chest, where the skin is very thin and susceptible to skin damage. I think at this point, we're all pretty good about putting sunscreen on our face, but so many of us miss the neck and the chest area too. I use the Bond Charge Neck and Chest Mask daily for about 10 minutes in the morning while I'm checking emails. Their red and near-infrared light waves together penetrate up to 5 to 10 centimeters below the skin surface. The red light reaches the skin's top layers, and the NIR light targets the deeper tissues without UV exposure, and that's going to help reduce the fine lines, wrinkles, and to help ramp up collagen and elastin production. So I want you to head over and have your best skin with me this year. Go to bondcharge.com/better. That's BETTER. And use the discount code BETTER at checkout. And that's going to give you 15% off your entire cart. Transform your health and fitness with the Carol Bike, the smartest, most effective exercise backed by science. You can experience unparalleled results in just a minimum of 15 minutes per week, per week, thanks to AI personalized workouts tailored to your age and your fitness level. You will increase fat loss, train up your strength and your speed, and have better energy, something that every woman, including myself, absolutely covets. I always say that women are the original biohackers. If there's a way for us to feel better and look better, we are all over it. Carol Bike, in my opinion, is one of the best pieces of cardio equipment that you can invest in. Studies prove that Carol helps you achieve a 12% increase in cardio fitness, lowers the risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and reduces blood pressure by 5% in as little as 8 weeks. Begin your transformation with the Carol Bike today and enjoy $100 off using the promo code BETTER for our beautiful Better Podcast listeners. That's BETTER. All you have to do is visit carolbike.com.
All right. The one, the only, JJ Virgin. Welcome to the Better Podcast. I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm so happy to spend time with you, friend.
I know. And I love serendipity, because I remember
the night before we had an email exchange, I was writing in my journal and I said, who do I want to reach out to be on my podcast? And I wrote your name down. And then of course, the next morning sitting in my inbox is an email from you saying, hey, I just, you know, finished interviewing so-and-so for my podcast. I want to introduce you. And I was like, that's really great. But what about you? I want you on the podcast. I want you to be on the podcast and talk about mindset. And
well, here we are. I like to people up. You know that.
Yeah.
Expert pimp.
You are an expert pimp. I love that. And I'm excited. I'm excited to have this discussion with you because you are, in my opinion, one of the foremost experts on what it means to be mentally resilient. You know, we were talking in the pre-chat around all the work that you're doing right now with the current situation. And I wanted to really have a discussion with you on how we can, you know, accrue our experiences, like accumulate our experiences and use them to develop mental grit. And like I said, you are, you know, a coach to some of the top healthcare providers on the planet. And I want to get into, I want to discuss with you, what are some of the patterns that you notice in terms of what it takes to be successful, what the difference is between those who are successful and those who are not, and some of the challenges that we all face. So lots to unpack with you today.
All right. Yeah. And that's not a one sentence answer. So
yeah. So we might be here a while. All right. So before we do all that, I think it's relevant for listeners who haven't heard of you. I think it might be relevant to, as we go into your wisdom, to understand some of the hurdles and obstacles that you yourself have faced and have had to overcome. And when I look at you, you know, you've come up a lot on my podcast. I've had lots of people from the Mindshare community, which is the community that you run. And you are one of the most wealthiest people I know, not just from a financial perspective, but from a mentally abundant standpoint as well. Like you just said, I'm an expert pimp. I like to give all the stuff away. So let's maybe start off with some of the hurdles and obstacles that have really challenged you and how you felt you were equipped or how you dealt with them. And then we can move on into patterns and stuff that you see with your clients.
All right. And you know, I still think back, Stephanie, I had an amazing mentor. And so much of this came from her. But when I was working with her, she was training me to be a mindset coach, which I'll talk about. I didn't realize it at the time. And I remember walking into an event that I was going to host. It was one of the first ones I was going to host and train people. And in this room, someone who'd been there before had left this sign in the meeting room. This was at a hotel. Because so it was seemed very random, but of course it wasn't. It was complete synchronicity. There's a sign that says, there are no victims, only volunteers. And as I was listening to you talk, the reason that you are successful is exactly how you think of things. And I'm saying you specifically, because even the way you were framing this showed that you see things not as a victim, but as a victor, that when things are a challenge, you have that opportunity to step up and show up, right? And learn from it and be better. And I believe we're never better than when we're challenged. So I was super frustrated in my 20s because I had a paradigm that wasn't working. And my paradigm was that if you want to be successful and help more people, which ultimately I think anyone in the health world, we get into it because we have this vision of like saving the world, healing people. So I was super frustrated because I'd gone to college and then I was in grad school and I was not where I wanted to be in my business. I wasn't able to help as many people as possible. And I moved to Florida and I had this client. I was a personal trainer and doing a little bit of nutrition back then, but really I was in grad school for exercise phys. And she said, what are you going to do when you graduate from at the time it was University of Miami? And I go, oh, I'm going to go get my PhD. She goes, huh? She goes, well, why are you in school? And I go, well, I want to be more successful. I want to help more people. She goes, oh, okay. She goes, so you're going to then go on and get your PhD. And I go, yeah. And she goes, why? And I said, because I want to help more people. Now, what was funny is this woman was like one of the premier coaches in a multi-level marketing company, but her whole sweet spot was mindset coaching. And she grew up in a trailer park and she barely graduated from high school. And she was a multimillionaire self-made. Okay. So I like talk about not connecting dots, right? I was like, you know, telling her I had to go get more college and she's like, huh. And anyway, I still remember it because we were walking down the beach and she says, you know, when you turn 30, you're going to feel differently. You'll start to wake up to things could be different. And that's important because so much of what we do in life is based on our own constraints, our limiting beliefs. And at 30, she sent me this video about, you know, how to make a bigger impact in the world, how to create leverage, how to duplicate yourself. And it just flipped the light switch on. And I literally got rid of all my stuff in LA. I sold my personal training business because I'd moved back to LA. I dropped out of my PhD program at USC and I moved to Florida and into her house. I think she was like going, I didn't really mean this. but you know, I kind of go all in and she'd offered to mentor me. So I'm like, okay, let's do this, you know? And it was like, I could do it. I was single. I didn't have kids. So it was a perfect time. So I moved in and the first thing she did was put rubber bands around my wrist. And okay, now picture this. I have just gotten rid of a lucrative six-figure business. I have gotten rid of all of my apartment, all my stuff. I'd even gotten rid of my car. I'd gotten rid of everything and I'd moved into her house in Florida. And she has me put rubber bands on my wrist. And I think, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did this to yourself. What were you thinking? You know, like you just did this. But I started doing it. And she said, every time you have a limiting belief, snap your wrist. And boy, by the end of like the day, I'm like, I'm not going to have any skin left on my wrist here. I realized like, you know, thoughts create. It is so clear that thoughts create and that everything is created twice, you know, first in your mind and then in the world. So if you can change your thoughts, you can literally change your life and you can change the world. And she didn't tell me that at the time. She's just like, just snap that rubber band. And I'm like, okay. You know, but she taught me how to tightly control my environment. She taught me never to watch the news. I mean, at the time we had TV and radio. So like no news, no newspaper. This freaked my mom out. She's like, what if something bad happens? I go, I'll hear about it, I'm sure. Because my mom is the total like, you know, the glass is half empty all the time. And so I was just started to surround myself with only positive stuff. I had a little Walkman with tapes. I had Zig Ziglar and Og Mandino and Think and Grow Rich. So I had all this positivity surrounding me, the books I was reading, the tapes I was listening to, the people I surrounded myself. And that's the only way I let it be. And after 6 months, I was an entirely different person in the way that I thought. It's like now I can spot a limiting belief. It's like I spot that stuff so quickly because of having gone through that. And that really, like when I look at the stuff that I've gone through, that back when I was 30, which incidentally I wrote the whole Warrior Mom book and people are like, how'd you learn how to do this? And I'm like, I don't know. Well, I learned it all when I was 30 with this mindset coach. And then she had me go and coach people all over the place. And that's when you know you really have something is you can teach it. And then it just became me. And I completely forgot that she even existed. Like I totally forgot she was even there and taught me it. It just was who I was and how I rolled and what I did. So that when I came up against challenging situations, I didn't become a victim. You know, I looked at the challenge and I think we're never better than when we're challenged. And I looked at, all right, I mean, you might have an initial freak out, but it's like, really, what's the opportunity here? What can we do here? And what's amazing, Stephanie, is watching how people are going through this pandemic. I have been fascinated by it. I love the saying that Wayne Dyer says, if you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. Because I'm watching people step up into such greatness, such generosity, such empathy, such kindness, doing amazing things. And then I'm watching people do horrible things, right? Mm-hmm. And I had someone working for me once. And they did something super bad. I mean, they basically stole from me. They didn't. And when I asked about it, they go, oh, you know, they gave me this whole reason that this happened and that their wife was in the hospital and she was pregnant. And I'm like, if you had just asked, I would have given you whatever you needed, you know, and they justified it that way, that it was the only time they'd ever done it. And this was why. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I hear a year later, they did it to someone else. You know, it's like it just reveals more of who you are, right? The challenges in life.
Yeah, 100%. And I would love if you can to share the story of your son. I know you and I have talked a lot about this, you know, off camera and off, you know, off the air. But this is, when I think about what happened to your son, this is probably a parent's worst nightmare. And I want, if you're okay sharing it, I'd love for you to do that, because I think that it puts into context the priming that you had from your mentor and how you were ready to go. Like, you just went into, okay, it's go time. Like, I'm not going to wallow in self-pity, and maybe there's a little bit of processing that has to happen, but you immediately went into problem solving mode. And we can parse that with a discussion around the pandemic as well. But if you could share what happened to your boy, your son.
Yes. So when my son was 16, I have two boys. One was 15, Bryce, and Grant was 16. And it was about a month before my book, The Virgin Diet, was coming out. I'd gotten a great advance for The Virgin Diet. I'd invested every single bit of it into doing a public television show, into a marketing routine, into everything I could do to make that big book go big. And I'd also like borrowed a little bit too. So I was like all in on making this book go big. And I'm the sole financial support for my family and a single mom. I come home one night and my 16-year-old's all rattled. He wants to go to martial arts, but he had a migraine and missed school, you know, but had a magic, incredible recovery, as they always seem to have. And so I said, no. Well, he got madder, stomped out of the house. And I went into my garage to work out, and then my ex-husband and my other son come storming into the house, and they say, Grant's been hit by a car and airlifted to the local hospital. And so we drive over there. We don't know anything. They won't disclose anything because he was a John Doe. And when we get there, they take us into a room and they tell us that Grant's suffered severe injuries, you know, life-ending injuries, that he was alive right now, but sometime in the next 24 hours, his aorta that was hanging on by an onion skin was going to rupture. And he had 13 fractures, multiple brain bleeds. He was in a deep coma. He still had brain activity, though. But they said, you know, we can't fix his aorta here. And, you know, if we were to fly him to another hospital to do this, he would never survive that airlift. And even if he were to survive that airlift, he's not going to survive that surgery. And even if he were to survive that surgery, he'd be so brain damaged, it wouldn't be worth it. Which, that last line, I wanted to reach out and slap that doctor, as you can imagine. And I'm sitting here listening to this. And honestly, Stephanie, it's like you're watching a movie. Like, I think your brain does that to go, this is not real, could not be real. My other son, the mathematician, looks at the doctor. He goes, well, maybe there's a 0.25% chance he'd make it. And the doctor says, yep, that sounds just about right, son. And Bryce goes, well, we'll take those odds. He's like, that's not zero. And so we overruled this doctor. We drove to the hospital in the middle of the night, no clue if he was going to be, you know, alive or not when we got there. We get to this hospital. This amazing doctor is there he's enlisted in the middle of the night. He's brought in six different teams, from the cardiothoracic team to the orthopedic team to the neurosurgery team to the critical care team to the PED team. I mean, it's like crazy. So he's got them all working on Grant. He got a hold of a stent that was no longer available. It was the one that had been in a study that he wanted to use, that was supposed to be used for adults. He's like, I'll ask for forgiveness. And this is the type of doctor you want, total warrior. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I walk in, he goes, you the mom? And I go, yes. He goes, I got this. Don't worry. I do this all the time. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go exactly with what you're saying. So we go in and wait, and he comes out a couple hours later and says, all right, he's fine. He goes, now I don't know if he'll ever wake up. I'm just the plumber. And so we kind of go, this was really the story of the next 7 years, of like highs and lows, of like, he's going to be great. Oh my gosh, he's going to die, up and down. But that first night in the ICU, after it was the first 24 hours, I was standing there, and I, you know, you go through all of those stages that I think Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talks about, like this, you know, disbelief and denial. And I'm standing there and I go, you know what, Grant, your name means warrior, and you're going to be 110%. And from that minute on, like, that whole training just kicked into place of thoughts create. I would not allow anyone to say anything that didn't see him in 110%. If doctors came in saying, oh, we're just trying to get him to walk again, or, oh, you know, he's never going to wake up, they're like out of the room. And I basically said to them, I'm going to decide whether you're going to be the doctor or not. This is where he's going to be. You're either on the bus or you're not. And I just operated as if he was going to be 110%. And I asked my community for help and support. I was like, okay, what do we need to do to get him to be 110%, with the most important part of that being that extreme visualization, right, of seeing him there, which there were a couple times it was really hard. And I called in friends to help because, like, there was nothing pointing to him being, you know, even making it through the night, much less 110%. But I had to know, even if, because as I was writing the book, he was so suicidal from the brain injury that I didn't know if he was going to make it. I mean, he tried to commit suicide multiple times. And I just thought, you know, I just need to know that I've done everything in my power to help him be 110%. That is what this book is about. It's not about my son becoming 110%. It's about how we show up, how we serve, and what our mindset needs to be able to get through that, to have that, be able to endure that level of stress, right, on a daily, day in, day out basis.
Yeah. And there's this undercurrent that I love what you're saying, because what I'm hearing is that what I don't hear a lot of experts in this space talk about is this idea of letting go of control. You know, letting go of the outcome, right? Like, you are in the present right now. And instead of thinking about, oh, well, what if he doesn't make it? And what if my son dies? And he's here right now in the present. What are the decisions that I can make right now that can help him get to that goal? And so that you, like you said, you know that you've done everything in your power to help him get to that goal. And whether or not he makes it, you know, you're sort of not divorcing yourself from the outcome, but giving everything you have in the present without regard for the outcome. And I bring that up because I remember Elizabeth Gilbert, who's been on the podcast. One of the things I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or if it was in our pre-chat kind of when we were warming up, but she was talking about the idea that when Eat, Pray, Love, that big, you know, the big book was like in 100 languages, movie, Julia Roberts, blah, blah, blah. She knew that the next book that she wrote was going to fail all kinds. So no matter if you were a super fan of Eat, Pray, Love, the next book was never going to live up to it.
Right.
And if you were someone who hated Eat, Pray, Love, you'd be like, oh no, this bitch is still kicking around. Yes. You know? Here, she's still here. But what she did was she committed to the process of writing. It was like, I don't care what the outcome of the book is going to be. I love writing, so I'm going to do it. And it reminds me of what you're saying, because you're saying, listen, like, I love my son. The outcome, I don't have control over that, but I do have control over what I do right now. So I know that my thoughts become things. I know that if I just focus on the what ifs and I play the what if game, that's not going to serve him right now. So it reminds me of almost like a, you know, you think about the hurricane, right? You have like all the, or the tornado, and you have all the houses and the roofs are like swirling around. But right at the center of that is this calm, you know, the eye of the storm, which is calm, tranquil, nothing's really happening. And it parses well with what we're dealing with right now with the coronavirus and the economy being shut down. You know, we're seeing people either being triggered to your point where they're just doing terrible things, or people stepping up and saying, okay, like, this is my opportunity to show up and to help other people.
Yes, I got it. When you started to talk about Elizabeth Gilbert, so in my book, in Warrior Mom, I wrote the quote from her that I love so much. And I'm going to say it the right way because I had to change it in the book. But you know, it's better the right way. The women whom I love and admire for their strength and grace did not get that way because shit worked out. They got that way because shit went wrong and they handled it. They handled it in 1,000 different ways in 1,000 different days, but they handled it. Those women are my superheroes.
Yeah.
I just love that so much. And honestly, it was so crazy, Stephanie, because as this whole thing started to happen, I had the same feeling like I felt that first night in the hospital, the adrenaline, the like everything kind of going, okay, right? And, you know, that first night in the hospital, making that decision that in order to get through this, in order to show up the way that I needed to show up, that the only way I could possibly do that is if I prioritized my self-care above all else, that if I was going to be able to be there for my son, you cannot walk into an ICU with a sniffle. You have to be right. The guy, you know, my son had a tube coming out of his brain. He was like high risk for infection. And here you are in a hospital, one of the most, you know, infectious places you can go. So I knew that I had to put myself, you know, no margin for error. I had to do every single thing I could to support my immune system. And it is so counterintuitive to how we behave. People are like, oh, you know, you should go get a massage and have a pizza and relax. And I'm like, no, none of that stuff's happening right now. I'm going to make sure every minute counts. I'm getting my sleep. I'm doing what I need to do for stress. I'm taking my supplements. I'm eating correctly. And as I started to watch what was unfolding here, I went, everyone needs, this is probably the first time ever in my lifetime that prevention has gotten to be sexy in front of mind. You know, right. Usually it's the most impossible thing to convince anybody of. They're like, oh no, not that. And that really we can somewhat control if we get this, you know, yes, we can. I've been in my house for a month, not letting anybody in, but for a lot of the first responders, they have to be out there. The only thing that we can control at this moment is how well we take care of ourselves. And you might think it's selfish. It is not selfish. Like, you are doing everybody else a huge service if you are as strong as you possibly can be during this time. And honestly, forever. Like, I'm hoping that one of the silver linings of this is for people to understand that health is the most precious thing that you have. Health is really the, you know, wellness is the new wealth. Like, that is what's super important. It's not some like frivolous thing. I remember when I was a personal trainer early on, it was like this, you know, luxury frivolous thing. And I'm like, exercise is not frivolous, right? Eating right is not like, you're not a health freak, you know? So that is my silver lining, big hope for this is that people all of a sudden go, okay, meditation is going to be a part of my life and I'm going to make sure I get my sleep and I'm, you know, making sure that I connect with other people and that I'm not eating sugar and I'm intermittent fasting, all these things that we can do that are totally within our control.
Yeah. And I love what you're talking about around the idea of selfish, because I think that that has such it's almost like a dirty word. It's like a swear word, right? It's like, you just said the S word, you said selfish. And I like to, because I'm a word nerd, I really like to distinguish between being selfish and being selfless. You know, being selfless is where you go in, you are a martyr and you put everybody before yourself. Like if, you know, when we think about your situation with Grant, if you said, you know what, I'm just going to get the pizza and I'm going to stress eat and I'm going to drive myself into the ground because that's, you know, I'm being selfless for my son. You would not have had the fortitude to stand up to, you know, the authorities that were saying, well, he has a 2.5% chance, or maybe we just got to get him to walk and all this other, you would have allowed that in because you wouldn't have been as sharp and as on your game. And I think that what my hope is very similar to yours, JJ, in that I hope that people, especially the women that are listening, to really be prioritizing themselves. You have to put yourself first. It's like the airplane thing, right? Like, you put the mask on before you put on the mask.
I know. We should have that early on in our training, though. People just don't pay attention to that. I had this client, Stephanie, and she contacted me. Like, we met at an event and she said, oh my gosh, I need you. I need to hire you. I almost died. I just got out of the hospital a couple of weeks ago and I'm the sole financial support for my family. I'm so concerned. I need to take care of my health. And I'm like, all right. Mm-hmm. So we agree to work together. I tell her what I need her to do first. I'm having her report in every single day so that she stays on it as she's getting going. And I don't hear from her. And I'm like, what gives? I give her a couple days because I'm not a babysitter and I reach out and I don't hear from her. Give her a couple more days. Finally, she reaches out. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I've been really busy. I'm like, huh. All right. What have you been busy with? Well, I had to get life insurance. So before I put my health first and start taking care of myself, what I'm going to do first is make sure that I have life insurance so that since I'm not taking care of myself and almost just died, that I'm ready. So I won't prioritize my health. I'll prioritize my death, right? And I'm like, wow. I mean, she went through this list of all the stuff she had to do. Nowhere was she on the list. It was absolutely ridiculous. And that is why we've got to shift this mindset, because you're right, this whole martyrdom. I have a cousin who is, I think, 10 years older than me. And my mom's like, oh my gosh, poor Susan. And I go, what's going on with Susan? She goes, well, you know, she just broke a hip and, you know, her bones are really fragile and she's got all these health problems. And I go, well, what, you know, how did that happen? She goes, oh, well, she's had low thyroid function. The doctor thinks she's probably had it for 20 or 30 years, but she's never had a physical. And I'm like, that is the most selfish thing I've ever heard of, mom. Right. She's got two kids who rely on her. What do you mean? Like, here's mom thinking, poor Susan. I'm like, poor Susan, who doesn't know that you need to go get a physical? And if you don't feel good and something's off, you go get it checked. Instead, now you're a burden to your family because you were being a martyr.
Right.
So let's retire that whole martyr thing. It's just like in our world, I think that people get badges because they're overworking and they're too stressed. And it's like, no, that's not helping anybody.
Right. Right. And feeling good is not, you know, I use the word pleasure, but I, you know, and that can be in the sexual sense, but it can also just be, you know, you're allowed to enjoy your life. You know, you're allowed to feel good in your skin and say, you know what, like, I look really good in this dress, or I am fit enough to run after my kids. Like, you're allowed to give yourself that permission to say, yeah, you know what, I'm worth the time that it takes to invest in going to the gym to exercise, as you said, or reducing the sugar, as you said, or the intermittent fasting, like all the, you know, the little just things you just rattled off that you're doing.
It's so important you said that word, the W word, because we queried my community a couple of years ago and we said, if you are not where you want to be in your health and your weight, why not? And I thought they would say, oh, I cannot quit the gluten or the cheese or the dairy or the sugar. And the number one thing, because it was one of those, we let everyone write in and we got like novels. And the underlying theme of the whole thing was, I'm not where I want to be because I don't feel like I'm worth it. Mm.
I am incredibly bullish on sauna as a therapy for recovery, heart health, and overall aging well. I personally decided on an infrared sauna from Sunlighten because of the range of far wavelengths and near infrared wavelengths that it offers. Saunas help with detoxification and rejuvenation to rid your body of toxins. It helps with heart health by improving circulation, reducing blood pressure, and helping keep the arteries supple. It helps with muscle recovery by easing the tension and soreness to recover faster. And of course, stress reduction. With the warmth and the relaxation of sitting in a sauna, it's crucial for hormonal balance and achieving a state of well-being necessary for a strong physique and a strong mind. If you visit sunlighten.com/better and use code better to get a discount, that is sunlighten, sunlighten.com/better, and use code better at checkout.
Is that something you see more in women than in men, or do you see it across the board?
Totally. Come on.
Yeah.
100%. Here's a great example of this. And I see this, you know, in my own companies. And they've done studies on this. So I've seen it with my own eyes, but I've read the research on it. And you see it with women is women will tend to undervalue their worth. Like if they go in for a job interview, the guy will like overvalue what he's good at. He'll like tell you, you know, blow himself up and tell you he wants more money. And the woman will like underscore things, right? And ask for less money. So, you know, I think this is some deep programming going on here with this. I'm not like the men want to win. It's part of their whole tribal thing. And women, you know, gotta take care of each other and be in the tribe. And if you get kicked out, you're going to die.
Right, right, right. And so you've talked about some of the tools that your mentor taught you in terms of becoming aware and conscious around your limiting beliefs and like bringing it into the physical body with the elastic band and like, you know, giving yourself a flick every time that you hear it. For someone who doesn't have the opportunity to be mentored by someone like you or someone who hasn't had, you know, a tragedy or, you know, an extreme event in the way that you have experienced, how can someone begin to move from the victim to the volunteer or to release the idea that their circumstances are because of some externalization. Well, if you know the economy was like this, I would have been like this. Or if my father was more present, then I would have had more confidence. Or I mean, I'm just making things up. But what is it that you see as, you know, a coach and a mentor, and you've been a mentor to me as well. And there's been times when you've called me out on my shit too, which I'm happy to talk about. But what are some of the strategies that have been most effective either for you or the clients that you've worked with in terms of moving from victim to volunteer?
Well, I do hugely believe in having coaches, and I think you actually can't afford not to. It was interesting during the 2008 economic crisis is when I like joined another mastermind and had hired a mentor, and you know, my check bounced. Like I don't know. I was like not totally paying attention to the fact that our economy just crashed, but it was the smartest thing I ever did. Like I knew that I couldn't afford it, but I also knew that more important, I couldn't afford not to. And that if I brought my, you know, same knowledge base of what I knew how to do to be successful in business, I'd be getting the same results, and they weren't where I wanted to be. So I do believe that hiring a coach is super important. And, you know, you can get coaches at any level. You can get into an online group program for very little money. So there's no excuse on the whole, like, I can't afford it thing to me and any of this stuff, because it can come straight down to watching, listening to audiobooks and getting books from the libraries when they reopen, et cetera. I think the most important thing is who you're around. You know, Jim Rohn has always said that your income is the average of the five people you hang out with. Mm-hmm. And then we found out that obesity is contagious. You can catch it from your friends. I think that you really need to be careful about who you're hanging out with. Because if you are hanging out with people who are negative, who are victims, your attempt to get out of that is going to be like the crab trying to climb out of the pot. They're not going to let you go.
Right.
And so the first thing that you need to do, and I mean, now it's so much easier to do these things because of Facebook communities. Like if you find someone you really resonate with, I think of people who I always love hearing from, like Mary Morrissey, who we had at Mindshare last year, Lisa Nichols, who you've had over at Archangel. You know, there's so many really amazing teachers out there, just going back and listening to Wayne Dyer teachings. But find your person and join a group and stay in that, and start to clean up your environment, because it's just too easy to slide back. And then you have to, like, every single day I control my day. So every morning I always start with writing down at least three things I'm grateful for. And then if during the day I start to go sideways, I will reach out to someone and tell them what I appreciate about them, or I'll do something cool for someone. I'm always looking for opportunities to do something more, you know, to serve more. Like I was reading this morning that we have a homeless camp here in Tampa that needs supplies. I'm like, you know, we have so much, and I feel so grateful right now that even 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to buy more food for a week. I wouldn't have been able to, like, mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, like empty out a bunch of stuff and let's take it over there. So, you know, do something like that. Fastest way to shift your state, if you're having a pity party, is go help someone else out. And then every night it's like, what are the little miracles that happened today? What are those wins that Dan Sullivan teaches us to celebrate that it's so easy to forget about, to think, oh, that was just a crappy day? It's like, was it really? You ended the day still breathing, you right, know, roof right. over your head. I think it's probably a lot better day than you realize. So I call that my jam, my gratitude, appreciation, and miracle plan. And it's 5 minutes. And if all you did was just start with that, you in a week will be like blown away as to the shift it can make. And it doesn't cost anything, you know, you can do it with your family. And so that's what's great about so much of this stuff, is if you really read back, like look at Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, what he discovered about these people, like the most wealthy people out there. And when I think of wealth, to me, it's really about the ability to live the life you want around the people you want to be with and make the impact that you desire. Like to me, that's absolute wealth. And he found those people, it wasn't because they, you know, were born into it. And it was purely because of the way they think, and we can change that. So that's incredibly liberating. That means anyone has access to that.
It reminds me what you're saying of Carol Dweck's work, the work on the growth versus fixed mindset, and the idea that we actually can change our thoughts, and our thoughts don't necessarily, they're not always right. You know, we can, those, you know, we have unconscious or subconscious programming from our parents and from our, I always call them like the Fab Four, mothers, fathers, teachers, preachers, right? So we have these people that program things into us, but that's also changeable. Like you also can change the narrative that you are talking about around yourself. And you mentioned, I'll actually share with you one of the things I've started doing that I really love is I will text my girlfriend every night and I'll say, this is what I'm bragging about for today. So it's kind of like your appreciation, but it's almost like, this is how awesome I was today. Because I think as women in particular, we just generally suck at saying, here's how I showed up today. So right now I am, you know, I do the work that I do. I'm a, you know, women's health expert. I have the podcast, but now I'm also an unqualified grade 4 and grade 2 teacher. Like I'm also homeschooling as well. So for me to keep, you know, my focus and to continue to, you know, have the output of work that I'm still doing, it's hard. I'll, at the end of the day, I'm like, this is how awesome I was. I didn't yell at my kids today. They got all their work done. And I was able to punch out X, Y, and Z or whatever I did, you know, and I did yoga or whatever I did. So,
shout out to all the moms here with young kids. Cause like, you know, mine are 20, I've got a 21-year-old stepdaughter and a 22-year-old son. So they're cleaning the house and cooking. And then I have my other 23-year-old son who comes over. And honestly, like I think about that, gosh, if I was homeschooling right now on top of all of it and, I mean, it's so impressive. Like we all need to be cutting ourselves a little slack here, right?
Yeah. I saw a meme the other day. It was a Dolly Parton meme, the song 9 to 5. And it's like, actually it's like I work 9 to 9:07 and then I'm interrupted. And then it's like 9:15 to 9:22. And then it's not, you know, 10:40 to 10:43. It was so true because the kids are coming down every couple minutes and they're like, hey, is this right? I just did long division. Is this right? You know, so, and of course I love it, but you know,
getting it all done afterwards. So it's like 9 to 5. Plus 7 to 11.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what happens because when they're done, I'm like, okay, it's 4:30. It's time for me to start working now. Yeah. I wanted to, you mentioned Lisa Nichols, who was on the podcast. And one of the things that we talked about with her, and this is just, I wanted to ask this question to you too, because I'm fascinated by the concept of forgiveness. So it's come up a lot, mainly because what I have found is when I ask people about forgiveness, there's many different roads to it, but we all end up at the same place. So with you in particular, when we talk about Grant, when we talk about the driver, or even yourself, you know, you could go down the road, and I'm sure that you did, like, why didn't this woman stop? Why didn't I stop him? Why didn't I not get into a fight with him? Like, how could I have done it? What was your process for forgiveness? And the person that you are, I'm assuming you've come to a place of peace around it. What was that like for you?
Yeah. And it's also something now I'm acutely aware of when I need to do this process. So I'll give you the how you know when you need to do this.
Okay.
So I was fortunate. You know, I didn't think I was holding any grudges against this woman because I never, when she hit Grant, one of my neighbors actually saw her stop her car. The neighbor didn't see her hit Grant, but he saw her stop her car, get out of the car, gasp, look back, gasp, and get in the car and drive off. And so I never paid any attention to that. I was like, all of my attention was, how do I get my son to 110%? My friends in Palm Desert where this happened called me and they said, we are going to put out an award, a reward to find this woman. I go, why wouldn't we do this? Like all my attention's over here. It does not matter who this woman is. She will have her own cross to bear. This is, you know, let her go. We don't know what happened here. You know, we're not focusing on that. Grant's never referred to himself as a victim. And the family kind of collectively has decided that this was one of the best things in the long run that's happened to us, and for so many reasons. So I didn't think, I was like, hey, I'm fine. Then our buddy Dave Asprey was like, you got to come to 40 Years of Zen. I'm like, I agreed. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know why he was pushing me so much on it, but turns out he was totally right. And what this is one of his technologies where you put this electrodes on your head and you go through this processing to raise your alpha brainwaves. Well, the way you raise your alpha brainwaves the easiest, which is how you have more joy and creativity and positivity and happiness, is through forgiveness. Because if you've got forgiveness, it basically is going to crush your joy. It's going to keep you angry and resentful, can make you sick. And so I didn't really think I had anyone to forgive, because I used to be a little revenge holder, but I thought, oh, I let that go. I tell people, oh, you know, I just put that in the closet and shut the door, which doesn't work at all. It does not work, because it's in the closet. If you open the closet, it all comes out. So I went through this process, and the process is really interesting, because the first thing you do is you pick your courthouse and the location and the judge and the jury. And so you put this all into your mind and you're seeing all of this, and then you bring out the person you're charging. So at first it was this woman, and you're in your mind, you're thinking through this whole thing and charging her with the crime. And you basically charge this person with the crime. And because you've got these electrodes on your head, you can hear the tones. And when the tones calm down, it means you've kind of got it all out on the table. Until the tones calm down, you just keep going. So charge her with the crime. And then the next thing you do is you become the person being charged, and you explain yourself, and it allows you to become completely empathetic. And so when I stepped into her shoes, I was explaining how, you know, I didn't see him. He was wearing dark clothing. I was paying attention to the road. He ran right out in front of me looking at his phone. And my baby was at home, and the babysitter was leaving, and the cops would come and take, you know, I had this whole story about, like, you know, she was in with her kids, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we go through that, and then you go back and you forgive the person. And then you have to check in with your judge and jury to make sure that you actually did. And this is all done with these tones that you're producing through your brainwaves with these electrodes. And so basically the machine can tell if you're cheating or lying or not, right? Mm-hmm. But what's cool about it is once you learn how to do that, how to train your brain that way, you can repeat it in everyday life. And I think the takeaway here is that I think we tend to think that forgiving someone means you call someone and go, hey, I forgive you. It's got nothing to do with that. And people will always say to me, well, I can't forgive that person. They're dead. Or I can't forgive that person. I'm never talking to them again. I go, it's got nothing to do with them. It's giving you peace. Like, I forgave that woman. But once I forgave that woman, I went, you know, I need to forgive myself because I'm upset that I let him go. But then I need to forgive him because he stormed out and did that. You know, so it just kept going and going and going until we let it all go. If you still have charge around something, if you're angry, upset, most likely you have some forgiveness that needs to happen in there. And that's how I can tell. And sometimes I'll go through the process and I can't get there, and I might need to let it sit for a little bit. But it was interesting. I'm trying to remember the guy who did the study where he found that he was looking at, I think it was Sandy Hook when that whole shooting happened. And the kids who had the best mental outcomes from that were the ones that went through and forgave, and the ones who didn't. And as he was doing all this research around forgiveness and who has the best mental outcomes, his mother was murdered. And literally he went through forgiveness process for the murderer within 24 hours because he knew how critical it was for his mental health. So the takeaway here is that this is nothing to do with the other person. This is peace for you.
That's incredible. I love that. Let's shift gears a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about your coaching and some of the people that you have worked with through Mindshare and through the mastermind that you run. What are some of the common patterns that you've noticed? I mean, and these, I should also preframe this, like these are some of the biggest medical doctors, OBGYNs, chiropractors, naturopaths, like the whole gamut of, I mean, first, even just that MindShare exists is almost an anomaly, because it's like, what, you're going to sit down and have like NDs and DCs and MDs and OB-GYNs, and they're all going to sit at the same table and they're all going to get along. You know, I mean, that's the, I remember when I first was introduced to MindShare, I was like, what do you mean? Like, it's only, chiropractors are only supposed to go to chiropractic conferences, yeah, and medical doctors are only supposed to go to medical conferences. And you were like, no, we're all going to go, we're all going to get together, we're all going to peer share, and we're all going to get better.
But then Stephanie, you then have to put in there that we've got vegans and paleos and keto.
Oh yes, that's right.
And then they all have to get along too. So
yes. Yes. And it's, and we all sit at the same table. Like I've sat with vegans, gotten along with them, famously. And it's an interesting, I mean, if only the world could take, you know, a couple of lessons from mm-hmm. MindShare, especially right now. Cause it's interesting too. I don't know if you've noticed this in the news, but there are two ends of the spectrum in terms of what we are seeing. Like first you see the news, like everyone's dying. World is coming to an end. There's like 4 million new coronavirus cases today. And then there's other people that are like, I don't believe that this is a big deal. Like, it's really interesting, the cognitive biases yeah. that we have when we are, and you know, not to say one way or another, because that doesn't matter, but it's interesting when you're viewing the way that people are reacting to this. In some ways, I think that this whole pandemic is actually bringing up a lot of trauma, because I know for myself, definitely. I am a control, like I like to control things, and I know where that comes from. It's from my past. So this has been difficult for me in some ways to say, like, you can't tell me to stay home. Like I know I work from home, but like, I want to be the one to decide that I'm going to work from home. Like, you can't tell me, you know? So I wanted to maybe talk a little bit around what are some of the common, even in the medical doctors and the DCs and the NDs and stuff that you coach, what are the patterns very similar? Do you see that it's about having to forgive, feelings of worthiness, practicing extreme self-care, like all the things that we've talked about, are those deficits that you see even in our healthcare providers?
Well, it's interesting when I start out, I think that there's in some of the doctors, they think because they went to medical school that all this other stuff should come easy for them. And I'm like, this is completely different than anything you've ever learned before. So this is mm-hmm. like, you're going to have to, it's starting over, which no one ever wants to start over, especially when they've reached a certain level. So there's that piece of it. But I would say that the biggest block that always happens along the path is it's always a mindset piece. It always comes down to a mindset piece. There's something holding them back that we have to figure out. Where I always start when I'm working with someone, because a lot of times they'll come and go, okay, I want to have a New York Times bestselling book. Mm-hmm. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I've heard, okay, I want to have a New York Times. And I'm like, all right, why? You know, and they'll say, for the credibility. I'm like, well, there's a lot easier ways to get credibility. You actually already have credibility. So what's the, you know, we have to keep pulling back the layers, peeling the onion to get to why they really want to do what they do. That always has to come first in any of these things, right? It may be that they want to create financial security because they had none growing up. Maybe mm-hmm. because they want to, you know, significance is so important to them. If you look at all the needs that Tony Robbins talks about, they become so important here. It's like, is that need to be significant, need to be heard, need to be loved? Like, what is going on here? And then you start to look at what are the things holding you back here? This belief that, you know, doctors shouldn't talk about those things, or, you know, if I do that, my friends will laugh at me. That used to be a big one that we've gotten through a lot of, but man, they're very catty situation with doctors. When they see one doctor really stepping up and showing up, they'll tend to like be the crabs in the pot. That's why you have to have a group that will lift you up and hold you up. I've seen it so many times as someone started to get out there and share and support communities, and then someone else will just put them down. I had one doctor who, and I think you might remember this from the mastermind, some other doctor wrote them the scathingest email about how dare they, you know, show up and go on TV. And I'm like, oh my gosh, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, part of the challenge is if you, and it's why in Mindshare we do awards every year. And in our awards ceremony, we also have a part called Insanity Awards, where we literally celebrate the haters and the meanies. Because what I've seen is if you are going to go out in the world and make a difference in the world, you are going to have people who are going to say nasty things about you. I mean, case in point, Rachel Ray has haters. Rachel Ray.
Right.
Rachel Ray. Like, come on. You know, it's like if Rachel Ray can have haters, my gosh, you know, we're all in deep doo-doo here, right? So what I've had to really train people is if you really want to step up and show up, you've got to be prepared to take the arrows. You've got to. But we're all around you holding you up too. Like, all of us will help you as that happens, because all that happens as you're taking the arrows is it means you're making a bigger impact. If no one's talking about you, if no one's saying any nasty stuff, it's because you're not being heard.
Right.
You know, it's like, and that's like, look what's going on right now with the pandemic. Just like you said, there's one side over here and they're like, this is all like, it's 5G and this is all manufactured. I'm like, yeah, but it's going on in countries where there's no 5G. So how do you explain that? You know, or this is just Bill Gates over here trying to create this thing to create a, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, or it's like the Bible said this, or someone else going, you know, and I kind of look at it, go, because you see what people pay attention to based on what they value. People are like, you know, you just got to keep the economy going and just lose lives. I'm like, huh. Really? I'm not sure that's the best one. But you do get so many different opinions. And I look at this whole situation and I can't help but think, what if this wasn't political? What if this wasn't anyone having a need to be right? What if we just shared the information, stayed completely open to the possibility of it could be anything? It could be, you know, a bat, it could be biological warfare, it could be 5G, it could be Bill Gates, it could be anything. And why don't we just all share the information as to what all the possible causes are and all the possible solutions without pointing fingers or blah, 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 you know, and see what happens. What wouldn't that be in a most amazing situation? And we get to an answer, a solution way faster without everyone mad at each other.
Well, I think that also demonstrates your expertise in the devil is always in the details. It's never just going to be Bill Gates is an evil person trying to put microchips in us and or it's all 5G and or whatever things that are sort of floating around. There's always an Ari Witten had just put up a post on this the other day, and he put something up to the effect, it was on his Facebook profile page, and he said, why don't you, before attacking someone else, think about, if you are an expert in the field, would you go and debate another expert who held an opposing view as you? And I thought that was such an interesting thought experiment, because I can tell you that I have been in practice, you know, working in a brick and mortar and now in an online capacity for 16 years, around metabolism, around female health. And I probably would think twice before I sat down with someone and debated them. Even though I have the 10,000 hours of mastery, my head is like every Saturday morning, my head's in PubMed, I'm reading all the time, you know, and I think that when you hold such an extreme position, often it means that you don't understand the full picture, because people are not inherently 100% altruistic or 100% evil. There's always a nuance. There's always a bit of a mix. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. You just have to kind of dig for it, which I appreciate you saying a lot, because I think that there has been a lot of extreme opinions that have been put forth. And I think there's nothing wrong with those opinions, but you have to take them in jest with some of the other opposing opinions, and you have to look at fact, and you have to separate emotionally charged things, which is kind of coming back full circle to this idea of you need to heal the triggers and the trauma that you have, that you are susceptible to in a time like this, where you are seeing people's triggers kind of flare up. And if you're able to neutralize that charge, as you said, through the process of forgiveness or through the process of understanding your worth, then we can start to make these like stepwise, you know, these the progression forward and through, rather than trying to get around it.
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely. And could I just say one thing there, though? It's really driving me crazy that when I'm hearing supplements don't do anything.
Oh, yeah. Let's touch on that.
One's driving me nuts. And I think one came from the Canadian Dietetics
Association. The Dietitians Association.
I'm like, shame on you, because there's no research. I go, there is so much research on nutrient deficiencies putting you at risk for viral infections, and there's no risk. So shame on you.
You know what they said, actually? They said that your diet doesn't influence your immune system. So that was number one. And then the second was no supplement can. I think that the wording was careful, though. It was something like no supplement can treat or prevent COVID-19, which at this point, we don't. That is a factual statement. However, the suggestion is that you cannot take supplementation to amplify immune system integrity, which is incorrect.
Yeah, of course it is. And I actually saw a doctor saying, you know, you can't boost your immune system. I said, well, you can't boost it. You can't deplete it either. Like you can't do one without the other. So, so if you're saying that, like, then the opposite's true too, but that doesn't make any sense. So, you know, those are just some of the things I look at and I go, well, you know, let's be helpful here. The idea that food doesn't matter is the most ridiculous thing ever. Of course it does, right? Because if that wasn't the case, why are people who are overweight and diabetic having more problems?
Right.
So there you go. Anyway, I just had to say that's the only
that's
one.
That's not an extreme view. That's a view that's based on fact, right? Like the issue that I take with a statement like diet does not, it's an absolute, like diet does not influence your immune system.
What fasting does, and explain that to me then. Like,
exactly.
What's fasting doing to white blood cells? Because I don't understand. Is that not true? Because that's a pathway. Right. Deep cleansing breath.
Yeah. What is something that you used to believe about mindset that you've changed your mind about? Because you just have such a depth of wisdom and such a breadth of experience that I think is, and your fortitude in terms of where you stand is also, I mean, I'm just watching you. So people who are listening to this don't get to see it, but you'll see this in some of the video promos when the episode comes out. What is something that you used to believe that you no longer believe around mindset and developing a growth mindset?
You know, what's so interesting, Stephanie, is that this has been a part of me for so long now, because literally in my mid 20s was when I started to work with Kay Smith. And so it's been 30 years.
It's only been 2 years, JJ. Oh my God. You learned something.
I know. Isn't that incredible? I know. Sometimes I'll do these podcast interviews and I'm sitting there going, oh, they must just think, wow, like, okay, you're so old. But it's been so long that I can't remember ever thinking anything differently. You know, it's like, it's just always been the way that I've lived. And again, I mean, such huge gratitude. And just think, Stephanie, if we taught, you know, if we taught like Think and Grow Rich and the power of positive thinking, if we taught these things in elementary school.
Oh my God.
Think what the world would be like. If we taught people that the first thing that you need to do to have a really, really good health and a really good life is to think that you are having a really good, a really good health and a really good life. Like step one, see it, see what it is. Be so clear on that picture, right? I had an amazing doctor I was working with in LA who, it was kind of interesting. He was an obesity specialist, but he was obese. It was very strange. And it was kind of like whenever I talked to him, I was working with him, but I was like, I couldn't really say, but look at you. But it was always like that pink elephant in the room of like, you're an obesity specialist and you're obese. But he said, you know, I have a process that works 100% of the time with people who are overweight. And of course that would beg the question of like, why didn't you use this? But here's how. However, I started using it. I used it in my TLC Freaky Eaters show with one of the gals there. And it is, he said, you take a picture of your face and put it on the body of the person that you want to look like the body that would be your dream body that would really make sense for your body type and everything else.
Yeah.
And then you know, carry it everywhere, see it. And it's that whole, you know, that whole idea of Wayne Dyer of, you know, you'll see it when you believe it, right? It's like that first thing of seeing it in your mind's eye, seeing it, because then you'll behave as if.
Yeah. That reminds me of Emily Fletcher. She talks about, she's been on the podcast as well. And she talks about, who I know you know very well. And she talks about manifestation and being very clear around the words that you use, like, oh, I'm trying to think of a negative. I can't think of a negative off the top of my head, but she said, don't use negatives. Like, I don't, what's that?
It's good you can't think of a negative, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like, oh, I don't want to be overweight. Maybe that might be like, you know, don't think about it that way, but say, I want to be able to express health abundantly. I want to be able to release the excess weight or baggage that I have for X and Y and Z reason, but being very clear on that. So just like what you're saying, like to be very clear in your mind's eye to be able to see it, because then, as you said, you start behaving in a way like it's already here.
Yes. And I remember way back, I'll give you a financial one. So I was a personal trainer in the 80s and I made in the 80s, I was making 10 grand a month in cash, but I could never make past that because there was only so much time and I was exhausted. And I started speaking to push past it. And then I was like, all right, I got to figure out how to make $25,000 a month. Now the mistake was, and then I got to that and I got stuck again. Mm. Why? I didn't say, I want to make $10,000 or more a month. I want to make $25,000 or more. You know, it's always add to whatever you're manifesting or envisioning. You know, my son will be 110% or more better than he's ever been. You know, it's like or more plus, so that you don't limit yourself and get stuck. Cause I kept getting stuck again. And then I was like, you know, oh, I forgot that other part at the end. Mm-hmm. So that's the other piece, but it's so fun to, when you really understand how thoughts create and how much power you have over your own dominion, it's like, it makes life so much more fun. And even in a scary, scary time like now, you can sit there. I'm really focusing on, all right, I was in Israel in early February. Like, we're amazed now. I was with Mary Morrissey and I'm like, how the heck did we manage to get through all that? Like, everything's closing. And, you know, I brought all this immune stuff and masks and sanitizers, everything for us to go through this. But I remember standing there at the place where Jesus had healed the parasitic paralytic. And Mary said, think about something, you know, something that you want to show up for yourself. And I'm standing there kind of going, what is it? And I thought, you know, what I really want in my life is spaciousness. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, yes, I'm working a lot right now, but I actually feel like I have a lot of spaciousness. And so I wonder what we can learn from this, what all of us can learn from this, because I've been traveling 70+% of the time, running around like crazy. And do we really need to do that? Like, can we connect more virtually? Like, could we ease off the planet a bit? Like, what are going to be the lessons for all of this happening right now? My biggest hope that is that we'll look at all this and go, okay, what are lessons we can pull from this that will serve us moving forward? Number one being, we've got to pay attention to prevention, that it really needs to be first and foremost, that prevention needs to be the new diet book. You know, everybody always looks, I want to lose 10 pounds. How about I want to have that rock star kicking ass immune system ever, and I'm going to put my health as the number one most important thing. And then, like, next step would be your relationships, right? How about if this whole situation right now, you know, won't be for naught if we look at the lessons we can learn from it and create opportunities through it to be better to ourselves and better to this planet.
Me too. Pinky promise. Yeah, I hope that we'll come out of it. Because what I've been finding is the things that are not necessary are just, they have to be disregarded by the wayside in order to be able to continue working at the, you know, with some of the extra, you know, the extra added things that are now vying for my attention. So letting go of the things that don't matter.
And I love, right? How few, like, that's what I had to do when I stood in the hospital with Grant. I'm like, all right, automate, delegate, delete. What doesn't have to happen? There's so many things we do that don't need, and things we buy and things we use, we don't need, right?
And if you told me, you know, 2 months ago, you know, you're going to have to not get on a plane from, you know, March to, I don't know, June, I would have said, I'm sorry. It's like, I can't not get on a, I have to go to Paleo.
I'm important.
I'm important. I have to fly. You know, you, like, I would have told you that is impossible. You know, my work, you know, I for professional development, for client, like, that would be impossible. But here I am. I mean, maybe it's on June. I don't know. Well, I don't know when it is that, you know, we'll fly again. It could be August or it could be whenever. But yeah, it's interesting how everything gets called under the microscope for you to say, okay, what can I automate, delegate, and delete? That's wonderful. JJ, it's always wonderful to sit and talk with you. Every time I talk with you, I always feel more powerful somehow. I feel taller and I feel...
You're Wonder Woman, my friend.
<Thank you.
laughs> And we are all stronger than we think, right? Yeah. I mean, that is the big takeaway. So many people, when I went through this story with my son, they're like, I could never do that. I'm like, you'd be amazed what you can do. Yeah. And we are so much stronger than we think. And I think that's the real lesson to carry through right now with what's going on, is this is an opportunity to show up and to serve. Look for those opportunities because you're so much stronger than you think.
Amen. A to the men, JJ. Thank you so much. Thank you for the time you spent today. I know you're very busy, so I appreciate it. And I will talk to you very soon.
All right. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with JJ, and I hope that that provides a little bit of inspiration and for you to double down on your mindset in the coming weeks. I know every time I get to speak to JJ, hang out with her, text with her, anything, I'm always feeling stronger, more embodied, and more motivated to do the things that I know that I should be doing that maybe I'm procrastinating on. So thank you, JJ, for always being the kick in the butt and the voice of reason that we all need. And I wanted to invite you, Betty, if you are really loving these podcasts, if there's a question that you want me to answer, I want to invite you to our Facebook group. So the Facebook group is free. It's called the Better Podcast Community. So you can just look it up on Facebook. It comes up. It's free. And this is where I want to begin cultivating and answering questions for you. So we've done this before in our Ask Me Anythings. And I think I'd like to also start to integrate these into my Geeky Magic episode. So if you have like a specific question, I know last week someone asked about cellulite and I was like, oh, that's a really good one. We're going to do a Geeky Magic all about cellulite. I would love to hear them. There is no question that is off limits. You can come into the Facebook group. We've also had people submit them anonymously. So we've had people reach out to my support team, support@drstephanieestima.com, and email in your questions. And I see all of them. I am amalgamating all of them and I am answering them as quickly and thoroughly as I can. So I hope that you will join the Betty Army, join the tribe, join the sisterhood, and I am looking forward to seeing you there very soon. So until we meet again later this week, I bid you adieu. All right. I hope you enjoyed this week's conversation. And now for the obligatory legal disclaimer. This podcast is for information purposes only and is not intended to replace primary healthcare such as medicine or chiropractic. It is not intended to replace the advice, diagnosis, treatment, or programs of care from your primary healthcare provider. In listening to this podcast, there is no doctor-patient relationship formed, and the use and implementation of the topics and strategies discussed are at the sole discretion of the user.